Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Yes, that shadowy voice belonging to Chris O'Brien. Because something happened to his voice. Strange creatures have taken him over. It is the trickster.
I was trying to be quiet and then not so quiet at the same time. Sorry about that. It didn't quite work. Anyway, I have a question from one of our longest time posters at forum.theparacast.com. His name is Ward. Very
Happy
insightful.
Happy birthday, Ward.
Yeah, exactly. It's Ward's birthday. Very
was
insightful
a few
guy.
Days ago, anyway.
I know he's a big fan of Don's show and is a big fan of yours. And he has several questions here, but because we were talking about descriptions of modern humanoids, he wants to know, we have the standard grays, tall and short, Nordics, reptilians, and praying mantis figures. However, why do we not hear of spider humanoids, banana people, and amoeba creatures? If close encounters of the third kind are merely inventions of the mind, would not these inventions be as varied as imagination could make them? Excellent question.
A tough question, for which I don't think we have an answer. I think the idea of a banana person would be a real cognitive dissonance. But then again, you got Moses talking to a burning bush. You know, it's like if there is an intelligence that operates independently of our physicality, but can, intrude upon us either through the use of our frontal lobe or by physically manifesting something in front of us, or somehow, what is that link? Because, you know, what comes into your eyeball, it has to be processed before it's interpreted by the brain as being a specific thing. You know, the optic nerve has to transport the data from the eyeball, and then it has to be translated into something that you is recognizable. That little stretch right there between those two things allows for a vast amount of error. I do think that my experience with psychotropic drugs, again, reinforces that. What you're looking at is you looking at something. You know, the observer is the thing observed to a large extent. So if there is an outside entity which has a purpose, which includes, inducing a cognitive dissonance, maybe it takes a form that is very serendipitous or ridiculous. And maybe it is going to be a talking banana. You know, so it's hard to know. Is this just a manifestation of your own mind? These are things we're struggling forward. Dr. Kenneth Ring, however, are you familiar with them, either one of you? Kenneth J. Ring?
Yes, and Ralph Ring.
Yes. And, you know, the results of their research, their study, they found a correlation, a higher correlation of incidences of abduction reports from people who had traumatic or abusive experiences when they were young. And I think he tended to interpret that in a way that I also kind of interpret a little bit from my own experience, and that is you can be more vulnerable at times to these kinds of intrusions depending on where you are personally than at other times. And people have had, like, who have died and come back to life on the operating table. I know several of my friends who went through Vietnam who had these kind of experiences at the tunnel of light and then thinking they're free and feeling wonderful and free, and then all of a sudden, you're not done yet. Zoop, they're right back, and they're back in the medevac with their chest being sewn up and my pumping blood into them, that kind of stuff. People who have had traumatic experiences with illness, people who have had sexual abuse or physical abuse, this reduction in the sense of a person's safety and inviolability that is broken, that trust, that safeness is broken at a very early age, they seem to be more susceptible, according to Dr. Ring, to the abduction experience. Are you familiar with that argument?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, traumatic experience can really adversely impact a person all throughout their life.
Yeah.
And this brings up another really interesting question that Ward has. And he says, in your opinion, Richard, how much of a role do you think we as the observer play in the UFO paranormal phenomenon? Are we co-creators in witnessing, creating the activity, or are we simply observers to it?
I think that's a very tricky question, because if something can use your own mental faculties, like remotely, like if you take over control of a computer, who's to say how much of it is your interpretation, how much of it is being projected into you? It's very, very, it gets to be very iffy. We can only interpret things according to our ability to interpret them, like a dream. dream have very odd images, but sometimes if you break down the images, and if you studied read in the work of Carl Jung, you'll see how rich an area this is for understanding oneself, that there is an active part of our being which almost acts outside of ourselves on ourselves to put us in certain situations, I think. So it's very complicated and subtle.
I agree. It's a hall of mirrors with a quicksand floor, I think, as Linda Moulton Howe put it at one point.
But, Chris, don't you think because the floor keeps moving that we have to keep moving? And that may be the point.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I caution, you know, people that attend conferences, and I'm sitting up at the podium, the first thing I say is I'm not an expert. I don't claim to be one. People call me that but don't believe them. And anybody that does come up here and say they are an expert, don't believe them and run away. So, I mean, all we have is more is people that ask more creative questions. Obviously, we really haven't gained much further understanding. We haven't really pushed the ball down the field in the last 60 years. I mean, there's no irrefutable proof that we're being visited by extraterrestrials. All this is all anecdotal. It's totally subjective. We don't have an answer. And so I think, Richard, you will agree, and I'm sure Gene does, that we need people with more creative questions, the Jacques Vallées, the Keels, people like Terrence McKenna and others who, you know, are trying to look at this thing outside of the box and not only figure out the new questions and the creative approaches that we need to take, but why the approaches that we've, you know, for decades have been trying aren't working. So there's a major disconnect between spinning your wheels and pushing the ball down the field. And I think you'd agree with that.
I would, too. I absolutely agree with you. And I think that is the challenge that we all work so hard at, is once we recognize this, we always want to make the disclaimer, like, I'm no expert. I don't know anything. Because the more you know, the more you realize, man, you don't know. But I think moved the ball. I think we have moved the ball to that extent, that we've come to the realization that we got to look deeper. This ain't it.
Yeah, I love it when people introduce me to a stranger and they say, hey, this is the guy that believes in aliens. And my immediate response is, wait a minute.
Yeah,
how do we know we're not the aliens and what we think is alien is more terrestrial than we are?
I tell you, that's a hard one. I get that, of course, because I've got parents and students and all kind of stuff. And the assumptions, the built-in assumptions they make.
You know, it's interesting. I have a cousin. He's a retired university professor. And I've met him maybe two or three times in my life, partly because I live far and away from where he lived. Okay, I later learned in getting back in touch with this branch of the family that he didn't like me. Why? Because I was interested in UFOs and he didn't believe in aliens. So therefore, I was a bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have a student whose mom is a NASA scientist working on the Titan project, the Moon Titan project, you know?
Sure.
And and she's she's just one of the scientists with her particular specialty working on it. And that they come into my class as sophomores, and they've already heard the story about, you know, are you going to be a freshman? Of course, I'm considered anything but the quiet researcher at school. I'm a very lively, energetic character, as you might get from this interview. I'm anything but quiet. In fact, Greg might have been sarcastic and saying that. I don't know.
So what is going to happen now is Greg Bishop is listening to this episode. He says, you know, I'm going to call Richard the loudmouth researcher. No.
Well, you know, I can't, you know, it's his name for me. I got to accept either one.
I'm sure it's done in the spirit of friendship because you're really a nice guy.
And he's a terrific guy and a great researcher and always challenging me to think deeper and think broader. Greg is really great at that.
We always enjoy having Greg on the show because he always gets a new insight. You know, you think about something that hasn't come to your mind, and that's what we need in the UFO field more and more, is out-of-the-box thinking, because the conventional wisdom has taken us nowhere. The conventional wisdom is everything you could learn from the first book that Major Donald Kehoe wrote about UFOs back in 1950. That's the conventional wisdom. That's old-fashioned. Richard Saradet is not old-fashioned.
In spite of my age.
You're with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Chris is not old-fashioned either. He's the youngin amongst our little group. We have Richard Saradet joining us. Chris, any more questions in our forums? We didn't give much time for the questions to be asked.
Yeah, I do, and I have another one from Ward, Richard. You know, we did talk about Mike Younger a little bit, but Ward has a question that kind of drills down a little bit on this. Could you describe your own personal experience with meeting Bob Lazar of Area 51 fame and your impressions of him and his story? That's part one. And also, and this is a bit of a twist that I wasn't aware of, Also, could you describe who alerted you to a possible Yakuza connection with Bob Lazar? And I think that comes from the enigmatic character known as Mike Younger and the strangeness surrounding him and his information. But why don't you address Lazar first briefly, and then talk about a Yakuza connection. That's one on me.
Right. Well, I met Bob Lazar when Don and I went up to interview him, and I played the role of the cameraman. I had the camera, so my reason for being there was to record the conversation. And I, that was my way of being, quote-unquote, invisible. You know, not really being there to do the research. But,
a quiet researcher.
Yeah, and just kind of be there and listen like a fly on the wall. Now, this ties right into what Warr was saying. We discussed this briefly recently on Don's show. Younger had said, when I told him Don and I were going to go up there and go interview Bob Lazar, he said, hey, when you're in Lazar's house, make sure you make a trip to the bathroom. And in the anteroom to the bathroom, there's pictures on the wall. And look at that picture. There's a picture of Lazar standing with some other people. And he said, you will see that they are Japanese. And if you look carefully, you'll see, you can actually see, you know, the Yakuza's wear a mark on their wrist. You know that? They have a tattoo. Yakuza's do. He said, you'll see that tattoo. So, sure enough.
Are they also missing the last digit of their little finger on the right hand or something?
Not all of them.
Only if they've been bad.
Something like that. But it was very...
Boy, it sounds like the TV show 24 where they torture people.
Well, there's all this ritual when you join gangs. You know, it's sort of like, you know, building on that tribal mentality of blood commitment. Regarding the Yakuza presence at Bob's house, this brought into a big issue that Younger was presenting to the people he was talking to, including me. And his warnings on Lazar was, this is not what it seems to be at all. You know, this is not what it seems to be at all. And that there was a lot of concern at security levels within the government of who was trying to espionage, our stuff at Area 51. And that this project may have been more about outing, hopefully, some of these agents. And that this whole thing was a dramatic exercise to bring out or catching or getting a handle on foreign espionage agents and intrigues. But there's never one agenda in an operation. Usually there are agendas folded within agendas, so one operation can accomplish several tasks at once. And I think Lazar's scenario might be a good example of that.
So you're saying that the outing of Bob Lazar and George Knapp's original contact of him and the original outpouring of information may have been some sort of disinformation or counter-espionage program?
Yeah, I think that's what Younger was indicating, and I begin to try to look at it through those lenses. That was definitely the direction he was pushing us to look at the time. Like, don't take it at face value. And, the fact that he could describe the interior and the layout of Lazar's house and where I should go to see this photograph really raised some eyebrows, because if he was in that house, it wasn't with Younger's, at some point, it wasn't with Lazar's permission. So I thought that was quite intriguing. Whether he personally saw it or whether it was given to him, I don't know. But I got, just by having gone up to that area with Mike Younger three different times, his knowledge of the area was extremely detailed. So whatever it was, he seemed to be able to know where to go, what to do, and what to avoid.
Now, looking at Bob Lazar, that's such a big question mark there. We have, for example, the fact that he claims educational credentials that appear to have disappeared, all that stuff. Do you really think, for example, if his background was genuine, that the military has the power to go to all these educational institutions, take a whole person's life history and wipe it out?
Well, I don't know if you say the military does, but
absolutely.
That's not the first time that's been done, the last time.
That's a no-brainer.
Well, I'd like to wipe out a few things about my background, but that's a different story.
I'd like to help.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for your support. Let's get started. I think everybody has something they did in their lives. I want to wipe that out.
You know, so with Bob, it's hard to know. My impression, to answer Ward's question of Lazar himself, when I was there, I was quite intrigued to meet him, of course, because I remember I'd seen the his first appearance on UFO Cover-Up Live when he was in Shadow, and then later when it all just kind of blew up, you know. So I was quite intrigued at this opportunity. We met with Gene Huff. We met Gene Huff first at Gene's house, and then we drove together over to Bob's house. And pulling up to Bob's house, you, first of all, you're struck by the fact that in his driveway, under the carport sits a jet engine mounted on a car.
The rocket car, right.
The rocket car. I mean, this gigantic thing, right? And then go inside the house. This is a typical little Las Vegas neighborhood house. Very, very tidy. Almost like a model house, you know. Everything in his place. And there was the room where he hung out, where his computers were, and it was like a divided living room, and he had desks sticking out, so he sat in this area behind the desk looking out the living room. Computers to the right angle, another desk, computers to the left. And then down the hall, he went towards the bathroom. If you turn left, he went into what was his, I guess, working area, because in the middle of the room stood this, 6-7 feet tall, Tesla coil, you know, generator that sends out the sparks, you know, that thing, the big blast generator. You know what I'm talking about, right? If I got the right terminology for that.
Yeah, like a Van de Graaff generator?
Van de Graaff, yeah, thank you very much. That's it. So there's this big, bright, shiny new Van de Graaff generator.
Now, for the listeners who wonder about that, isn't that the one that would make the hair stand on your head?
Yeah,
and make your hair
you know, Tesla would used to demonstrate this ability with the sparks all flying around. He could go out and stand.
Right, it's a great stage prop. It makes for great theater.
Yeah. So
a friend
again,
of mine built one when I was a teenager.
Did you really?
A friend of mine did.
Yeah, so did my brother's friend John Huey. We used to play with it in his basement. It was pretty cool.
That's right. As long as the hair lasts, it's a lot of fun. Then
what stands up then is the fuzz.
Then it does the fuzz.
Unless you're Nick Redfern.
Oh yes. Yeah, well he's safe, you know. Well, then it just causes a blue glow around the head.
Yes, and he basically levitates about 3 feet, but that's
But anyway, the feeling was in that room, which is both like where he worked. There were like counters along the wall. There was a few computer things there, a few little things there, but it looked more like a set than it was an actual working space. It didn't have like the untidiness and the stuff you would see if I was really doing research in there. It looked more like
you should see my desk.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like it was set up to be a set, like they were going to shoot a show here. So that always struck me as weird. And as far as him personally, he's very forthright. He's very direct. Yet there's there's something terribly disconnected in him to me. As an actor looking at another human being, it's like there's something blank in there.
Okay, does it look like, I'm going to ask you this question, but we'll hold the answer till the next segment. Does it look like it's all an act? He's putting on this persona for the benefit of whatever. We have Richard Serrett joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
You store guns, ammo, and food and water. But do you store peace of mind when it comes to your firearms? Now you can with Duracoat. The last thing anyone needs is a firearm that won't work when you need it most. Improve the factory finish and Duracoat your firearms once for a lifetime of protection against rust and corrosion. And Duracoat also protects against water, salt water, mud, grime, or whatever nature throws at you. The Duracoat Shake and Spray Finishing Kit has everything you need to finish a complete firearm for just $34.95. No need for an airbrush or other spray equipment. Just degrease, then spray on Duracoat and let dry for a lifetime of protection. Duracoat is the simplest and most user-friendly firearm finish you can buy. Use Duracoat on knives, camping equipment, or anything metal, plastic, or wood you want to protect from the elements. Call 800-830-6677 or visit Duracoat.net. Spelled D-U-R-A-C-O-A-T.net. Duracoat, the finest firearm finish on the planet.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest Corn Belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we have all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is, you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food cost. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we're talking about Bob Lazar, very controversial figure in UFO research. We have Richard Saradat, the quiet researcher, joining Gene and Chris. So, okay, play acting or what?
Hard call. I think there is definitely an element of play acting in there, just as an actor myself. But a play acting that's been embraced so that it isn't even play acting to him anymore. On the other hand, that curious little area I'd call a blank spot makes me wonder if there isn't some degree of program in there that he's been fucked with. You know, like maybe, I don't know, but that he's not personality. You know, do you get that from just seeing him, that he's an unusual personality?
Well, is it a matter of being cold or what? Or disinterested?
Yeah, not disinterested.
He seems too pat. It's almost like he anticipates. He has all his answers lined up and dialed in.
Yeah. It's all rehearsed.
Like, you can't get past that. Like, when I was there, I was, can we get past that? And no, he kind of controls it and it stays right there. So when I left there, I felt like very, very suspicious of Lazar. Extremely suspicious.
Now, you tell us you're suspicious of Lazar, but I think we have a lot of listeners who've heard Lazar mention our show from time to time, and maybe we need that 30 seconds or a minute backup to explain what this character is.
For me?
Yeah, go ahead and kind of tell our listeners again, remind them what this guy is doing and claiming, and then we can get back to the reaction.
Oh, okay, all right. So Lazar was the guy who was outed on first time we see him in the public, as far as I know, is on UFO Cover-Up Live. When he's presented in shadow as Dennis and talks about being hired to work at Area 51 by Ed Teller to work on back engineering the propulsion system of a flying saucer. And he said he describes his first visit out there and being taken there and walking into the buildings and walking down the hallway and through a window. And he describes he actually sees the window briefly, what he describes as a gray, like in a white smock, talking to another scientist in the room. Now, that could have been staged for him or whatever. He then describes working on the saucer that he was brought there to work on, and describes the saucer as the one you see put out by the tester, the S4 saucer, which they built on the basis of Lazar's description, and other people's description, not just Lazar's, because Andrews emphasized that. but that the seats, there were seats in there, they were small, childlike, that there were three gravity wave generators put in a triangular format inside the ship, that there was a two level. The lower level was where that gear was. The upper level was where they operated from. And that this thing had no seams in it whatsoever. It all seemed to be cast from one piece. He also describes at one time being brought out there at night and actually seeing a demonstration of these craft. And he describes looking out of the hangar into the night there in front of the hangars, and there was a swarm of these discs kind of rocking and rolling and moving about. He describes that, like, not one, but a swarm, like three or four or five, I don't know. And they were all out there moving around like that. So that's pretty bizarre.
And also, Richard, let me digress for a second. He also took some very famous and notable researcher, investigator, author types out there and predicted that they would see something. I think it was on a Wednesday night, if memory serves me correct. He also claimed that he was working with some new undiscovered element called Element 115, which now has been actually discovered and classified, which is nothing like he described. But he also claimed that he was potentially drugged and that there was some sort of memory and behavior modification that was done on him at certain times. And I digress further by saying the person who turned him on to all this, Ed Teller, was the father of the hydrogen bomb, who he claims he met at Los Alamos, where he claimed he worked. He was found in the phone book there. George Knapp and others have at least demonstrated that he was there, but there's no record of his involvement at the lab there, and also no record of his claimed credentials at MIT.
Well, if this was a disinformation operation that was run by one little group within the government, even the group he was working for may not have had knowledge of it. That's the way that tends to go. I've seen a videotape of somebody going in to talk to Teller, and they had a video camera, I think, hidden in a briefcase. And I'm not sure if it was Knapp, maybe you guys can remember this. And Teller was being asked about this subject, and he doesn't know he's on camera. He says, if you're going to ask me about, you know, Bob Lazar, I won't talk about that, you know.
Maybe he was very being polite to the guy, and he created a monster.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he was very animated about it. Have you ever seen that clip?
So I've seen reference to it too, also in books. But
Teller was like, "Oh my God, how did my name get connected with this nut?" Or I'm not going there. Don't even think about going there in this conversation. It could be for other reasons. Who knows? You know, there's nothing conclusive about that. Depends what you want to read into it. But the fact that you know he had been out to LANL, Los Alamos National Lab, that they did find him in the phone book, that Knapp has gone there with him. And people waved at him and said hello to him, and he was able to go quite deep into the facility. Validates that he had some kind of position there at some point. And they might have decided to use him just after that. You know, who knows?
You never know what psychological profile is going to, like, you know, come up and be red flagged for a perfect disinformation agent. And oftentimes, the best disinformation agents don't even realize that's what they're being used for.
Exactly. In fact, that's what you develop success. You know, and that's one of the things that Don was warning me about. Like, watch it. You know, they'll turn you into an asset and you won't even know it. And, you know, those were very prophetic words. I mean, I carried that, you know, very close to my chest every time I met with these people.
I wish I was an asset because then maybe I could, like, call them on it and they could arrive secretly one night with a Samsonite filled with unmarked $100 bills or something.
Well, there is that, of course.
Good luck with that. Let me know what that works.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I'll print up a card.
But you also have to wonder here, when people like Lazar do this, is he just a doofus who is being manipulated every step of the way to do what he's doing?
I don't know. I wonder if he's not unlike a lot of us find ourselves. Something's using us. Something's
our using wives and girlfriends.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but that's the obvious, though, you know. I wonder if we'll ever get to a bottom on the Bob Lazar case. I have, you know, another theory that part of the purpose of that very, very pseudo-scientific description of how the saucer worked wasn't directly put out there to mislead espionage teams from other countries. How successful that was, I don't know. But this discussion of the Yakuza being present with Bob Lazar and the fact that the Nippon Television had contacted Norio Hayakawa and asked him to take them out to Area 51 because they were fascinated with this UFO story. And they went out there, and they took the team out there several times. And I was out there once or twice, just coincidentally, when they were out there, running around, taking videos of things, you know. And they had some pretty dramatic experiences, that team, with their camera equipment. At one point, I remember a helicopter came out, and they had tried to get as close in as they could on one of the dirt roads and to the actual real limit. And there were the Wacken Hot dudes out there, and they the truck started coming towards them, so they turned around, started heading out down this road. This helicopter comes and actually comes down right over the car and actually starts bouncing on the car's roof with its skid, right? And brings that car to a stop.
Wow, you saw that?
Well, I saw the video, that part of it, and I and the audio of the people inside the car. Yeah, and that video is available. I don't know if Don has it.
Wow, I've never seen that. Yeah, send me a link, man.
Well, I don't have a link, but if I can find it, I'll let you know.
Maybe
but
you post
Norio
it on
Hakao
YouTube?
Will. Norio will. If you go on Facebook to Norio and ask him about it, he'll be able to tell you about that.
Post it on Facebook so everybody on the planet can see it. That would be fun.
Yeah, Norio could probably do that because I think it's his footage. But this was, you know, with this Japanese camera team. And what Mike Younger pointed out to us and said to me before I went out there, he says, do you know where the headquarters for Nippon Television is? It's in the palace, in the Imperial Palace.
Oh, boy, we're going to have to just break right here with that cliffhanger in the Imperial Palace. We have the Imperial, or not Imperious, Imperial, Richard Serradet with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Pentecost.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to dreamhost.com/radio, dreamhost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Since 1974, Evelyn Gibson has helped thousands of people live healthier, happier, and more productive lives. GibsonsHealth.com demonstrates, educates, and inspires customers to replace their healthy erosive lifestyles with a health-enhancing one. Now, GibsonsHealth.com is pleased to offer AIM Ready Beets Pure Juice Powder. Beet juice has long been known as a blood purifier and builder of red blood cells. The American Heart Association says 1 in 3 adults has high blood pressure and hypertension. Researchers found that a daily glass of beet juice beats high blood pressure. And not only that, just a teaspoon or two a day of Ready Beets powder increase stamina by 16%. Certainly, drinking beet juice daily is a better solution than most meds with their side effects. Order your fresh, convenient form juice powder of this amazing vegetable called Ready Beets from GibsonsHealth.com. To buy at wholesale prices, call 800-388-6844 or go to GibsonsHealth.com. Gibson's Healthful Living. Since 1974, over 30,000 healthier customers.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
That is an accent that is not just imperial. I don't want to get into it because...
You sound a little vaguely like the Transylvanian dude.
Possibly, yes.
Actually, you just sounded like Norio.
I'll have to work on that.
Well, Norio is going to call us now. He's been on the show. We have Richard Saradet, who's going to regale you with all the voices that he does. For the rest of the show, the remaining 10 or 11 minutes of the show, with Gene and Chris on the PowerCast, he's the quiet researcher coming forth about first Dr. Carla Turner, and we were focusing on possible government disinformation involved there, also with regard to the strange story of Bob Lazar, what he's all about. Now, I did this a few times in the show and got myself in trouble, and I'll do it again, okay? Because I've been in so much trouble on the show. Really, I've become the PowerCast soap opera in chief.
Wait a minute. You can't claim that title. I thought it was me. I'm the one that's always in trouble. You get off scot-free. What are you talking about?
Oh, right, right. Especially after I added that strange license plate to my car. We'll get into that later. We don't want Richard to ask what that's all about.
I'm going to. But I have a question for you first. There was somebody who posted right away after I did called Paranormal Trollop or something. Did you see those posts? And she said the first thing was the biggest show.
The Under the Bridge crowd has kind of invaded the show the last week. It's kind of disconcerting.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah. I was like, what the hell are you thinking? It's 51% of the time is advertising. It's like, that's something you should comment on. I mean,
You know what's interesting about it? Somebody actually put that up. Mm-hmm. Half the show is advertising. Now, what's really crazy here is, and I always wonder about this, the PowerCast is a network radio show, and we follow what they call the clear channel model of commercial breaks.
Right.
So therefore, we have roughly 2 hours of material on a show that lasts 2 hours and 39 minutes, which is, 25 or 26% commercials. Now, this is pretty strict. I mean, we're not the only one who does that. The same schedule is adhered to with Coast to Coast. We have Randy Rhodes, the liberal, Rush Limbaugh, the conservative. Hundreds of radio shows around the USA have exactly the same number of commercials as we do. Now, yeah, I guess we can all say we'd like to see less. And it is less than it used to be. Radio shows used to have more commercials than they do now. We'd like to see less, but, of course, a network has to make a buck, so there you go.
Hold on 1 second. It's not the number of commercials. It's the actual commercial time. Our show has a lot of small 15-second commercials, so it seems like a lot longer.
Yeah, and the reason they do that is a sponsor will learn that they can get a really good rate on 15-second commercials, and the network says, well, 4 15-second commercials make them a lot more money than a single couple of 30 seconds or a full minute because of the way the rates break down.
Right.
That's why you have a problem. But I can't control what the network does. Our commercials, the ones that we're paid for, they're 30 seconds or 60 seconds flat. That's how you go. But it's a crazy world out there.
And that's just definitely a troll, like what a useless comment.
You wonder also, since we're talking about government disinformation here, and that is, I wonder what sort of possibility is there that a widely trafficked forum, like the Paracast community forums, whether some of the people hanging out there are government agents?
Well, what do you think? I mean, if you were in their position and had to monitor this subject and perhaps influence it, you know, it might be a classification. That's your job. It's like 11 Bravo, you know, infantry. You know, my first assignment, if I had followed through with the Army Security Agency and gone to the language school in Monterey and learned 47 weeks course in German, you not only speak it like a native, but you recognize all the regional accents, etc. The first assignment I would have had would have been sitting on the edge of East Germany on the West German side with a pair of earphones on, listening to everything. That would have been my first job, you know. So, yeah, they monitor. I mean, the government monitors everything it needs to monitor.
And they're not using the machine that's available in that TV series, Person of Interest, or are they? How close to the truth is there about a universal computer that tracks everyone?
Well, before we even go there, Gene, I think the very fact that the Paracast has drawn out some of the more... Well, in 3 years, I haven't seen the kinds of trolls that have turned up recently that we have. And I think that, to me, is actually a compliment, because it indicates to me that we're getting maybe uncomfortably close to the core of certain subjects. And that tends to ratchet up the heat in the response. And that's just a possibility. I'm not saying that's so, but I take it as a compliment that these trolls have come out and really tried to attack the show and attack us personally.
Oh, I've seen a lot of that over the years. And one of the reasons is one of the things that differentiates the Paracast and, you know, shows like Radio Misterioso and Dark Matters is the fact that we're not afraid to ask questions. Just ask questions. Somebody says something and we say, okay, what's your basis for that? Very simple questions we ask, basic questions that any journalist should ask about someone. And if we have evidence that someone's being deceptive, we will present it. But a lot of shows out there, you know, will let a guest say any outlandish thing that they have coming to their mind, and their follow-up will be, well, do you have any hobbies? And we know which show we're talking about.
Yep. Yeah, CC and CC.
Right, and guess what? They have the same number of commercials per hour as we do.
Yeah, the whole idea that you get to listen for free to something that takes an infrastructure to bring it to you and a lot of work from people, it's like, oh, you know, somebody's got to pay for it. Send a check in if you want. You know, if you want to cover the cost of all the advertising that would come off of these 500 stations, you know, feel free. We'd be love to get that kind of gift. Maybe you know a Rockefeller. Or, you know,
I like to have a personal phone line to Warren Buffett.
Well,
you know, instead of the gecko on Geico commercials, instead of giving us geckos and stuff, why don't you write a couple of checks to good paranormal radio shows, help us get distribution, and this way we don't have to work within the network system.
Well, then they'll want to own all the material.
like a Robert Bigelow.
Exactly. By the way, what's up with that gecko? You know, is that the reptilian we're talking about? A talking gecko, you know?
I tell you,
they've been milking that little lizard for, God, what, 12, 15 years already?
Well, I'm telling you, you know, I saw him driving down Hollywood Boulevard in the back of a limo, and he just kind of looked at me and kind of gave me a wink, you know? I said, oh, you're living fat, aren't you? He just smiled and nodded.
High on the hog there.
Yeah. Life is good. I can't get an acting job, and this gecko's getting rich, I tell you.
Well, the person who does the voice, I don't know who does the voice for the gecko, but that voiceover artist is getting a lot of bread.
Woo! Yeah. Give me that gig.
Also, the guy who does the Law and Order TV series, you know, at the beginning, that one paragraph introduction?
Yeah.
That voice has been used for 20 years. Every time you hear that voice on Law and Order, every time you hear the sequels, Law and Order, Criminal Intent, Special Victims Unit, all that stuff, every time those shows are presented, this guy, who maybe spent 10 minutes doing all those recordings, is making a check.
That's why it's such a small coterie. It's like a little mafia. Trying to break into that group, then, man, you better have pull.
Well, that famous announcer, I forget his name, who used to do all the movie trailers, in a world where...
How about Ed Herlihy, who did all the newsreel stuff back in the 40s and 50s and 60s?
Oh, man, yeah. Who was that guy? Thomas Lowell? No, I forget. Anyway... Certain voices are just so good for voiceover. I did tons of it for what you call industrial films, you know, for companies. I did small films for in-house films for like IBM, that were teaching them something new. I'd do one where I was teaching IBM, managers how to fire somebody. There's a lot of work like that that actors do that you don't see in their resumes. And it pays scale, you know, and it can be 2, 3, 4, 5 days work.
You know what? In terms of firing people, here's my politically incorrect solution. They use the voice of Mitt Romney. If he doesn't make it as president, he gets a job. This way he can record the voiceovers and fire people. It's like famous
voices. No, wait a minute. How about Donald Trump? You're fired.
Yeah, but that's too much of a cliche. Thinking of great voices, of course, Fred Foy, who was an ABC announcer who did The Lone Ranger.
All right, again.
Richard Saradet, as a quiet researcher, is there any way people can check you out online and find more of the things you do?
I don't tend to post a lot, and I don't tend to go to Facebook every day. Actually, I'm right now working on two projects with a writing partner, a guy on the Paracast. We are working on several things. One, we start out as a nonfiction, and the second we're doing as a fiction, and it's going to be something we're going to pitch. I just don't want to say any more about it. You think of now.
Okay.
But
we look forward to hearing more about the book project and the stuff you're working on. Chris O'Brien's site is OurStrangePlanet.com. OurStrangePlanet.com, because this is a strange planet. Our strange planet. You can find the Paracast on Twitter, where we're known as The Paracast, and we also have a Paracast fan club. Richard Saradet, thanks for joining us this week on The Paracast.
Been a pleasure, Pete.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com, sign up as a distributor, and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.